This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Asia, South America, Africa, around the world in trade news. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. President Trump couldn't pull out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership fast enough. It was one of his first acts as president, fulfilling a much-repeated campaign promise. Now he's told advisors to explore re-entering the deal. But getting back in won't be simple. The 11 remaining TPP countries spent months finalizing the deal after the U.S. pulled out. So while it's still early days, Marketplace's Scott Tong looks at the potential winners and losers of rejoining the TPP.
Now, the meat of the matter is meat. U.S. beef and pork exports would face much lower tariffs into Japan and therefore compete fair and square with Australian meat. We are talking about a revised TPP deal. After the U.S. pulled out, the remaining 11 Asia-Pacific countries, they kept at it, negotiated, and they rebranded it the CPTPP. If the U.S. rejoins, other winning sectors would include American dairy and automakers and oil refiners. They would all make and sell more than they do now, according to federal government statistics. U.S. chemical and electronics companies, however, they would produce less because of foreign competition. But TPP, it's more than just about stuff. It's also new rules that would make trade, frankly, similar to the U.S. economy. Innovating companies, they would get global patent protections. And digital goods like software and music could flow freely across borders.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thanks. The 8th Summit of the Americas gets underway today in Lima, Peru. More than 30 leaders from Latin America will be there. Vice President Mike Pence will represent the U.S. So how are Latin American leaders feeling about the U.S. right now? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
There's some tension between the U.S. and Latin America caused by President Trump's border wall and immigration crackdowns. But Alexander Watson, a former U.S. ambassador to Peru, says Latin American leaders are pragmatic.
Even though they may be resentful toward the U.S., they certainly don't want to burn their bridges with us. They want to have the best relationship possible.
But Watson says Vice President Pence will be pressed on things like immigration and trade. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer won't be going to the summit. Peter Hakam is President Emeritus of the Inter-American Dialogue, a Washington think tank. He says 10 Latin American countries have free trade agreements with the U.S. They're watching the tough NAFTA negotiations.
And all of them feel a little anxious about what is the United States going to ask from us.
Meanwhile, China is investing and trading more with the region. In fact, Hakam says China is South America's biggest trading partner. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And staying in the Southern Hemisphere, a few weeks ago, 44 of the 55 African countries signed up for the African Continental Free Trade Area. If it takes effect, it would create one of the largest free trade zones in the world. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The goal is to create a single continental market for goods and services with free movement of products, money, and people. By 2030, the African market is expected to have 1.7 billion people and account for $6.7 trillion in trade. Landry Signé is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He was born and raised in Cameroon.
By coming together, African countries are finally deciding to remove many of the barriers to trade.
The trade pact would lift tariffs on 90% of goods, but 10 countries, including Nigeria and South Africa, have yet to sign on. Audrey Ruby is a senior fellow in the Atlantic Council's Africa Center.
I do think eventually they will join. It's just on what terms and when.
She says that's important because Nigeria and South Africa make up about 50% of Africa's total GDP. Jeffrey Bergstrand at the University of Notre Dame says the pact could be a game changer.
We now have evidence based on history that there is a positive effect from these free trade agreements. And moreover, we understand these do raise standards of living.
The main promoters of the pact are some of Africa's less developed countries, Rwanda, Niger, and Gabon, among others. Bergstrand says that makes sense.
developing economies tend to benefit even more from free trade agreements than the developed world.
One reason Nigeria and South Africa are reluctant to sign on could be the free movement of people within Africa without visas. South Africa, in particular, has battled xenophobia at home for decades. Landry Signe says the pact would help many of his friends and family doing business in Cameroon. Overall, he's optimistic about the agreement, but knows there's still work to do.
It is a huge step. However, it is just a beginning.
For the agreement to stand, at least 22 of the 55 African nations will have to ratify and begin to implement the free trade agreement in the next 18 months. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down just a touch, less than a tenth of a percent. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future up 50 points. NASDAQ futures just about flat.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
VW has been struggling to move on from the diesel emissions scandal ever since it broke in 2015. And today, the company is making big changes to its leadership. Following the story for us is our Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand.
It's VW's biggest reorganization since the diesel scandal broke. This morning, new CEO Herbert Diess said he would reorganize the company's brands, including Audi, Skoda and Bentley, into three separate units and would prepare its truck and bus division for a potential listing. Reversing previous policy, he also said VW's large engine divisions, which include Renk and MAN Diesel, could also be sold. VW, he said, would be open to partnerships in areas like self-driving cars. Herbert Diess has spent his career in the auto industry, first in the supply chain at Bosch and then at BMW. Untainted by the diesel emissions scandal, he replaces Matthias Müller, ousted by VW's board Thursday night.
Anu Anand with the BBC. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer is Brian Allison. And I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.